What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Our Lives in Medicine. This episode features fourth-year medical student and future OB-GYN, Catherine. Catherine is a loving and fun woman who has fought hard to accomplish her goal of becoming a physician. She has also started on a fitness journey, which, despite COVID's best efforts, she refuses to give up on, and has continued to improve herself both mentally and physically. Check out this episode to learn about the life and times of this amazing medical student who will be an even more amazing physician in the near future. I hope you enjoy. And if you do, please feel free to share with others, like us on Instagram at Our Lives in Medicine, and please rate and review us on iTunes. You have no idea how much it helps, and we really appreciate it so much. And as always, if you need some good beats to study, or get some work done, or just catch some good vibes, stay tuned to the intro and outro for the lo-fi beats, and check the artist show notes for the shoutouts. I hope you enjoy, and I hope you have a great one, and cheers to the future. Catherine, what's going on?
Nothing much, you know, just living the fourth year life.
Living the COVID fourth year life.
Yes.
It's very different than my fourth year, I bet.
Yeah, for unfortunately. Sure.
So what have you been doing fourth year so far?
We just started at the beginning of August. We're supposed to start a month before. But I'm on emergency toxicology right now, / studying for step two, because that also got pushed back. So it's a pretty light rotation.
So you just started like 10 days ago.
Yeah.
What have you guys been doing before that?
We were out for 11 weeks and then we finally got the okay to go back and we had to make up half of the time that we missed. So I missed, luckily I only missed medicine. So instead of doing 12 weeks of medicine, I did 6 and then I had 3 weeks off.
Oh, sweet. Okay, that's not too bad.
No.
How did you enjoy medicine?
I liked it better than I thought. Unfortunately, you know, being a med student, there's like other aspects of our rotation that can be frustrating, like assignments and evals. But, you know, overall, I did really well. I learned a lot, but medicine is definitely not for me.
Mm-hmm. OB-GYN is your jam, right?
Yep, 100%.
What made it so stick out so much in your mind?
First year I got to shadow on LND, on labor and delivery, and it just was kind of that moment where I was like, I'm doing this. And then when my rotation came around, I was kind of afraid I wouldn't like it, like doing it for real every day, but I loved every moment of it.
Now, I want to ask a question. What was the Boston March like?
It was actually really cool. It normally I hate being in crowds. But I was on the T. The T is what they call the subway in Boston. Crowded with people. There's nowhere to sit. We were all stuck together. And I felt safe. And I just felt this sense of belonging. And I felt like it was a really empowering experience.
That's awesome. So it was packed in, but it was for a good cause. So that makes it a lot better when it's like for a purpose, not just like you have to be packed in.
Exactly.
Sweet, sweet. And so you were saying that back to OB-GYN, you were saying that was kind of your jam because first year you saw it and loved it. Was there like a particular aha moment or just kind of just everything about it?
I was only on labor and delivery, so it was definitely the first time the aha was about seeing babies born, which is pretty awesome. But also when I was there, I wasn't interacting with this patient at all, but we were talking about another patient who had lost their child's in utero. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, I wish I could be there for them and be there just as their doctor and, you know, as a person. And I've had other experiences on other rotations where the worst parts of those fields I could not handle. Like trauma surgery is pretty traumatic. And I just felt like, you know, I wanted to be there for those really, really good moments, and I wanted to be there for the bad ones as well.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I guess trauma has its good and bad moments, but I feel like trauma has a lot of, even the good moments are just like they're alive, you know, that not like better, but they're just alive.
Yeah.
Whereas like L&D, that's pretty cool. I mean, you just brought a child to the end of the world. So that's cool.
Exactly.
How many deliveries have you done?
I have not counted. However many I did like, on my rotation.
Does that mean like a lot, or like you stopped counting at a certain point, or just not many yet?
I just never really counted, but it was like about as many as you'd get as a in a 6 week. Actually, OB was more like a 3 week rotation within, because we did 3 weeks on OB and 3 weeks on GYN. So I would have liked to do more, of course, but I have the rest of my life too.
That's true. That's true. Are you going to do gynecology also, or are you just going to do obstetrics?
I'm going to do gynecology too. I was kind of nervous about that because I had no experience in gyn, so I wasn't sure if I'd like it. But I was in the OR doing hysterectomies, especially the robotic cases, and I loved it.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah, I mean, I liked on my OB rotation, I enjoyed the C-sections just because it was like procedural. And it was, you know, time sensitive, and it was just really interesting to like pull a baby out of this mom. But there's nothing like a natural delivery. Those were scarier for me as a student because I was like, oh my God, there's a head coming out. But yeah, it's cool though. I totally get it. It's just, it's a really cool field. Yeah. It's like a mix of procedures, it's a mix of clinic, it's a mix of everything. So that's good.
Yeah. And then you can get the mix of like continuity and not continuity, which is nice too.
Exactly. It's acuity with continuity. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let's see, your fourth year now, did you go straight into med school from undergrad or did you take time off?
I went straight because I'm crazy.
Ah, yeah. That's what I hear. Crazy, crazy. So then you're going to go straight into OB as well. You're going to be living it up there, huh?
Yeah. But you know what? At least I get a paycheck when I start residency.
That is the absolute best part of residency, is every headache you get comes with a check versus you paying for those headaches.
Exactly.
I don't miss that about med school at all. I don't miss paying to be stressed.
Yeah. And then there, like, honestly, like, to be real, there are some preceptors that will make you do work that you should be getting paid for and not be doing while paying a tuition.
Exactly. They just like milk you knowing that they're, you know, they're going to get everything they can out of you instead of teaching you. That's annoying.
Yeah.
That's annoying. What'd you study in undergrad?
I double majored in physiology, neurobiology, and molecular and cell biology.
Oh, God.
I couldn't decide which classes to take. Looking back, I wish I had actually double majored in like a science and then something different, but it's kind of too late.
It's a little too late, yeah, just a little bit. That's funny. That's cool, though. So how do I put this? Like, was college fun given those two double majors? It doesn't sound like it would be a lot of free time.
It was fine. I mean, I gained the minimum number of credits I needed to stay a full-time student.
Good. Smart. Smart. That's good, though. Okay. So what's M4 year, like, going to be for you, do you think? Like, what are you most looking forward to about it? What are you kind of nervous about for it?
I'm definitely looking forward to the fact that I'm doing rotations and actually at least somewhat know what's going on and know what I'm doing versus third year. I I don't even know how to describe it, like a deer in headlights. When I started rotations, I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know how to talk to patients that well. I didn't know how to do a proper physical exam or get a good history, which, I mean, nobody does. But it can be really frustrating. But now that I'm a fourth year, I've gotten used to not knowing everything. I've gotten used to missing things, but I've also gotten a lot better at not missing things.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's also going to be a really chill year. So that'll be fun.
That's true. What do you think helped kind of transition you from, like you said, third year, you were kind of just a little shaky in the water. What helped you kind of get all those skills solidified?
Watching residents and attendings and what they do. Also not picking up bad habits, because I think, especially if somebody's been a senior residents, gonna call senior residents out for a second, might like go a little quick on things and take shortcuts. But when you're a student and you're learning and you don't know what you're doing, you can't do that. And so watching them, asking questions, asking for feedback, you know, at the appropriate time, if somebody's like struggling in the morning to get all their notes done before rounding, probably shouldn't ask then. But when there's free time in the afternoon, and just studying helps a lot too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you have shelf exams at the end of your block, or how are your shelves scheduled?
Yeah, we do them at the end of the block, and we do OSCEs as well.
Okay. So I have, you know, I'm an intern and I have med students with me now. I remember what it was like as a third year when I had the M4s and the interns. So in your opinion, what can I do to be a good intern for med students?
I think definitely being encouraging. I know like everybody's busy, and I think this goes for everyone, not just as an intern, but being really encouraging, passing along wisdom. One of my favorite interns was when way back when I was on trauma surgery back last August, and he sat down with me and he's like, here are the things that I wish I knew, because not many people do that. I did that with a PA student that just started rotations about a month ago. I think it makes a difference. Also, like I said, being encouraging and nice, and just not taking out your frustrations on the student, because we're just little, you know, scared chickadees and, you know, we're going to mess up. And I know, like, as an intern, you're kind of like in a similar situation. I just know that there's always like, there might be like that one resident here or there that kind of takes it out on the med student.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's weird, you know, like, especially when you see an intern acting like that in whatever field. It's like, you know, last year, you know, you didn't know anything, and you still don't really know anything as an intern compared to a second or third year or beyond. So it's, I don't know why they get that way. It might be like the sense of power or what, but it is annoying to see. I personally don't like that either. So I don't do that, at least.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
I think part of it too, because I had like one intern on surgery that like we just clashed so much, and like looking back, it was very unprofessional of this person. But I also see that like they were struggling so much and they just weren't appropriately handling it the way that they should have. And they were taking it out on me and the other students instead of, you know, coping with it in a way that's professional.
Yeah, that sucks. That's tough. You're just getting dumped on for no reason, but that's tough. So I'll make sure not to do that, and I'll keep an eye out for other ones too. But what are you going to be like as an intern, do you think, with med students?
I love to teach. I'm not usually the type of person to really take my anger out on somebody, or if I'm like in a mood, you know, other women will hear this and know what I'm talking about. We get in moods sometimes. We can't control it. So I usually tell people like, I'm irritable right now, so you should just be careful. Like, I'm going to hold it in, but if you notice me being very quiet, that's why. It's not you.
That's actually smart. That's super helpful too, at least as a guy, because I know sometimes I'm like, I don't know what I just did. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, that's really helpful to hear. So that'd be cool. I think you'll be a fun preceptor and like intern and resident for lower residents and for med students. So that'd be good.
Thank you.
What are you most excited for? What are you most excited about for fourth year?
Definitely. I'm weirdly excited for my acting internship. And for people listening who don't know what that is, as fourth years, we basically get to pretend to be interns without getting paid, but it's like a audition for intern year. And we can get letters out of it and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to that. They set it up this year where we're working with one attending for an entire week and following their schedule. So that's fun. I really like the attendings I'm going to be with. And then we get to be on a week of nights, and I absolutely love nights. I don't like staying up all night, but nights on OB/GYN are fun because that's when all the interesting things happen.
That's funny.
So, and I was talking to the first resident, actually, that I shadowed first year. She's now a PGY4, and she's going to be my senior on nights. And so we were talking about, like, expectations, and I'm kind of excited for myself to kind of practice being an intern and having, you know, things to do where it's like, I'm not just a student, I'm doing it for my learning. It's genuinely, they need my help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That'll be fun. It's a big transition. I remember, like, third year, how I looked up to fourth years even. You know, when I got to fourth year, I look back, I'm like, I don't know that much more than third years, but you really do, you know? And then it's, you don't realize it at the time until you kind of, like, comparing it. Same thing with interns. Like, there's so much I've forgotten from med school. There's so much I don't know yet, but you'll learn so much those first couple of weeks and months, even when you first hop in. So I think my only advice for you when you go into OB is look out for the other people in other residencies who are doing OB rotations. Because, like, I know for sure we don't know anything so about OB guy necessarily. So look out for us, all right?
Yeah. Well, I love, like I said, I love teaching and I love talking about it. So.
Okay, sweet. So I'm on adult medicine right now. Then I have, like, my outpatient block, and then I have L&D for the next block. So I'm going to be calling you after your. Be like, listen, Catherine, I need some help. I just need some motivation to get through this. I'm struggling. I've seen a bunch of babies today. I need some help. So
you can do it.
All right. Got it. Got it.
I know you can do it.
So what about interviews? What are they going to be like this year?
Oh, boy. Interesting. So ERAS is this, I don't know. I like haven't gotten over the hump of step two. So getting ERAS done is a really big struggle right now. Because it's like, I really need to study, do well in this test, and then I can start focusing on this application. And then I'm also nervous because they're not going to have that interview to see me in person. So it's all going to be online. I don't really know if they're going to do like multiple sessions where we actually get to talk with the residents, like you're supposed to do the night before at dinner. So it's a world of unknown, and the only pro to this is that it's saving me a lot of money.
Yeah, it that is a beauty of it. You got blessed with that, but it's unfortunate because you don't get to see and feel everything specifically. Like you show up on campus, you're like, okay, this is a place I can feel myself being. I can see myself being, but at the same time, like, at what cost? You know, literally, what cost? It was expensive. Fourth year was expensive, so.
Yeah. I guess I'm not as worried about, like, I was just thinking, like, moving to a new area, because I moved, like, I'm originally from the D.C. area. I went to college in Connecticut. I had been to Connecticut once before I moved there for college, and I lived there for 4 years. And now I'm living in upstate New York, and I visited here literally once before I got accepted, so.
Yeah, that's true. You just went for the interview, I guess, and that was it?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, you know how it is. And the best part is you'll be doing, first of all, you won't have much time outside of the hospital anyway. So you'll be doing something you really enjoy as well. So no matter what, I think the program, the only negative really would be if you just had like a bunch of jerk attendings or like co-residents. But I don't know much about OB. I can't envision it being like that though, kind of riddled with jerks though. So hopefully you'll be good.
It depends on the location. Unfortunately am very much applying to the Northeast and then some other regions. The Northeast has a reputation, but I guess my tip to anybody who ever has to do virtual interviews like this is ask around, because I know a lot of interns and they are very helpful.
Helpful, like in what way?
Like they'll tell me, people who have applied and interviewed, they'll be like, I interviewed here and this is the vibe I got from them, whether it's good or bad. So there's been places where I was going to apply and no, I'm not going to. There are places that I wasn't going to consider, but now I am because of what I've heard.
Okay. So would you recommend, are you saying like reach, ask around, like maybe reaching out on social media even to people like yourself who have been around? Like next year you'll have gone through the whole path. Is that kind of what you're recommending?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think there's any harm in it. Everybody's been really receptive to it. And people have actually hooked me up with other people that they know. And so random strangers have been helping me out, which is really nice.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's cool. And it's a small community, man. We gotta look out for each other. I don't know where this like malignant kind of personality stuff comes from. It's like, why? I don't get it. But I'm glad that you've gotten help from others, and I hope that if I can help in any way, obviously let me know. Probably not in OB specifically, but I have people who my friends who went there. So let me know if you need anything.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, what about during like first and second year? What were your like least favorite classes?
So the way my school did it was we do organ systems and we do it all like the normal stuff first year and then all the abnormal and farm stuff second year. Least favorite anatomy. I did anatomy, they always do anatomy like right at the beginning. And nobody has figured out how to study yet. And so I never figured out how to study on anatomy, so I just did really poorly, but I just didn't know how to study.
Yeah. Anatomy's hard, man. That's not a fun one.
Yeah, I have no problems with it now. I mean, cadavers can also be kind of hard to learn on in the sense that you're doing these dissections, but that's not how you're going to see anatomy in the surgeries. So I felt like third year rotations and actually being in procedures was much more helpful than doing the cadavers. So that was definitely the hardest part for me between first and second year. But second year is a beast because of step one slash complex one, level one. And mentally, it's definitely the most draining year out of the two because first year you can kind of like dilly dally and like mess around a little bit. It's fine. Second year, it's like you have to be on top of your game. We had exams every 2 weeks, which was really difficult.
Oof.
And I wish I had sought mental health treatment earlier. Like I didn't seek mental health treatment at all, which was totally a mistake. And I always tell people now, just start. Whether you have problems now or not, you're going into second year, start counseling, something, talk to somebody, have coping skills.
It's true. I totally agree. That's good advice, actually. And it's tough because you, like you said, you come from undergrad where you can kind of get by. Then it's like, okay, first year is hard when you first come in. Then second year, you're like, holy crap, I thought first year was hard. Now there's even more stuff, and it's tough. It's a t I mean, med school sucks for lack of a better word. So it's a tough journey. But yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Mental health is so important, and that can really keep you afloat, or it can sink you if you don't look out for yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, it is so prevalent. Whether people are talking about it or not, I feel like most people go through something during med school or residency or both. And so it's really important that we take care of ourselves. I have the mentality now where I take one day off per week. Every week, I started doing that, and it is gives me something to look forward to, gives me a break. And I am very religious about that, and that has definitely helped as well.
Yeah, I had a friend do that even for dedicated. He said he only studied 6 days a week, and one day he just didn't do it, and he crushed it. So it definitely helps.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing now. Of course, like the malign, like I think we all have that malignant voice in our head saying you need to study all the time. But I've learned after going through step one dedicated and now going through step two, you have time to work out. You have time to read a book for an hour, watch an episode of whatever show you want. You have time to take off that one day, whatever day you want. It'll be okay.
So for people who don't know, like maybe who aren't in medical field, like medicine, describe what dedicated is.
So we have to take our board exams, USMLE or complex if you're going to an osteopathic medical school, or both for some of them. And we get time. Most schools give us time off between finishing classes or rotations and taking this test because they are very important for residency applications and the scores really do matter.
Yeah. And it's basically just locking yourself away for 1, 2, 3 months and just studying all day, every day, or 6 days a week, kind of like you said. I mean, it's a miserable existence. It sucks, but for that kind of time. And then you get out of it and you start third year and it's awesome. So it's worth it. It's
yeah.
It sucks. It's definitely hard.
It does. Yeah. And step two, I mean, I know some people, everybody has different experiences. Some people said step two dedicated was worse. I think it's a lot better. I mean, I'm taking care of myself now. I definitely was not taking care of myself last year. And I know some people have, like, the nuances of third year can suck. Like I said, like the evaluations and like not really having control or knowing what's going on. But I enjoyed every day, even on my worst days, more than I did second year.
Yeah, I agree. Third year was like that. I mean, there were days I was like, man, this is frustrating because I'm never going to do this as a practitioner. Or I'm not going into this field. But even then, you can at least learn something and you're doing something. You're not just sitting around. So, yeah, third year was a lot better.
Exactly.
And I think step two was hard. People were like, oh, study for like 2 weeks for step two. And I disagree with that. But it was hard, but it was nice because you just finished doing, like, you could remember having physically done what the question is asking you, you know? Whereas, like, step one, it was just like, name this genomic this genomic sequence, or name, you know, this ridiculously random genetic disorder. And like, you're not going to remember that off the top of your head, but you'll remember touching something and doing it, you know? So it was cool.
Exactly. Yeah. I treated so much heart failure and COPD on the general medicine floor. So now anytime I get a question on it, it's really easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's cool. I'm glad. So how's the prep coming for step two?
Good. I'm just tired because I have a little gremlin, aka cat, now who wakes me up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Woof. That sounds terrible. Is it at least like a good cuddler, or is it just like a hellcat?
It depends on the night. I mean, he is normally a good cuddler, but it depends on his mood at the moment. Sometimes he's like crazy and he doesn't claw, which is nice. But yeah, he keeps waking me up. So I've gotten into the habit of kicking him out of my bedroom.
Yeah, cats are like aliens. They're just so weird.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my cat's got schizophrenia. My friend who's in vet school says that that's not a thing, but he keeps staring under the oven and the fridge and chases after things that nobody else can see. So I think he's schizophrenic.
He might be. It's definitely possible. That's hilarious. The first first case of feline schizophrenia has been discovered in your house. That's crazy. That's funny. So, you know, you're 4 years in, you're almost done with medical school, but if you weren't in medicine, what do you think you would be doing instead?
I think I'd like to be a chef. I really love cooking so much. I know, of course, that's like talking about another field, like low pay for most chefs, hard work, long hours, but I just like to do things that I'm passionate about.
Yeah. Being a chef would be cool. And I feel like culinary school would be hard, obviously, but so much fun. I mean, learning all those different cuisines and learning all the different like palates and how they match up would be so interesting.
Yeah. And okay, I would totally love to not only be a chef, but be able to like travel and like blog about like my food travels, because I love food so much.
Heck yeah, same. But it'd be cool to like be a traveling chef like around the world. You're kind of learning as an apprentice, but you're working, so you're getting paid. That would be pretty sweet.
That would be like the dream.
Let's do that. Let's say we'll finish. You'll graduate, get your degree, and then we'll do that.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll learn to cook, and then we'll travel and cook for people.
Yeah, we'll take my cat in the bag, in like a duffel bag or something.
Yeah. But you gotta have a separate room. I can't be dealing with that at 4 a.m. That's crazy.
Oh, no. He only wakes me up.
Okay. All right.
Not my boyfriend.
Perfect.
He only wakes me up because, you know, you got to wake up mom because you want to be fed early. You don't wake up dad.
Perfect. All right. Hopefully, when I have a kid, this is the same way. That'd be awesome. Yeah, it's like the kid always cries for mom, not for dad. That
Yeah.
sucks.
You know what's
But yeah.
funny is I was talking to my mom, and because my parents have dogs, and like the dogs only wake her up when they have to pee in the middle of the night, and they won't wake up my dad.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. I see. I got lucky. Like, I have friends who said their dogs wake them up at like 4 in the morning to go pee, or like 5 in the morning to go pee. My dog will lay in bed. She'll have her eyes open, but she won't move until I sit up, and then she jumps up and she's ready to go. But she won't wake me up unless it's like really has to go. And then I get it. If she's jumping up and standing at the door, that means she really has to go. So I got lucky.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know if I were a dog, I'd be like howling, like, yo, it's time to go. Take me out now.
Just pee in the corner. Like my cat pees in a corner.
Oh, no.
I
She
don't know
knows
why. He has
better.
a litter. He has a litter box, but I don't know.
Have you seen those puppy litter boxes where you can teach the dog to pee and poop in those?
No, I didn't know that was a thing.
It's kind of gross though, because they're huge. Because depending on how big the dog is, they're kind of like pretty big, and it's like this huge dog litter box. It's like I don't know if I'd want that. Where would I put that in my house, or it wouldn't just smell like litter box the whole time, you know?
Yeah, a small one's bad enough.
Yeah, I can. I had a cat for a bit in college, and I was like, this is my little one bedroom apartment, or my room in the apartment with my friends, like, it stunk. I was like, I can't deal with this on a big, huge scale with a dog size litter box. That would be tough.
Yeah. Ugh.
I'm going to try it out sometime. Maybe we'll see. If I can just teach her to pee or poop in the toilet, that'd be awesome.
I know, right?
That'd be pretty sweet. So let's see, outside of medicine, you know, what else do you like to do?
I got into lifting in November. Of course, gyms are closed, so I'm limited on what I can do at home. But I've been lifting pretty consistently since November. I really enjoy it, and I like to talk about it because, like, on my Instagram page, because it's one of those things where you can set short-term goals and accomplish them. Versus, I feel like a lot of times med school feels like it's this long-winded goal that you're trying to accomplish, and you never really feel like you're winning anything. But I feel like with my fitness goals, I'm constantly crushing my goals and crossing finish lines, and it feels really good. Plus, med school kind of broke me physically. I have chronic hip pain if I don't work out, so.
Yeah, I totally get that. It's like your goal is, I want to graduate med school. Well, that's a 4-year goal right there. Like, no way you're gonna see any progress in that anytime soon, you know? Whereas, like, if you say, I want to make sure I go 5 days a week at least, you can make that happen in 1 week, you know?
Exactly.
That's a good point. There's so many different milestones you can hit, so many different goals you can do, and that makes it kind of a never-ending game of what to kind of improve on. That's cool.
Exactly. I also like to cook, like I mentioned before. Sundays are kind of my cooking day. I go to the grocery store and I kind of let myself get inspired. And I just come home and I tell my boyfriend, like, this is what I'm cooking tonight. You're gonna enjoy it.
I'm sure he does not complain.
Not at all. Even on busy days, except when I'm on late call where I'm in the hospital till like six, anywhere from 6 to 10 p.m., I do all the cooking, and so he's been very happy.
Yeah, my girlfriend cooks too, and like she'll be like, oh, tonight I think I'm gonna make like pho, and I'm like, okay. Tonight I'm gonna make like a stir fry. Is that okay? Like, yeah, of course, I don't care. I was gonna eat a bowl of cereal or PB&J, so like, you know, that sounds great. So yeah, he's smart not to complain.
Yeah, when he used to live by himself, or I guess he lived with his aunt, he used to make broccoli, chicken, and rice every day.
Oh yeah, that's the go-to bro meal right there. That's it. I guess broccoli, chicken, and rice, or I guess a vegetable, chicken, and rice is like the go-to bro meal. But yeah, I mean, I like to mix it up a little bit. Like every now and then I'll get fancy and I'll make like bok choy or something like that, but my girlfriend is the one who really hooks it up. I'm not, my food's not good, let's put it that way. I can eat my bok choy, but it's not good. It's like I don't get like enticed by it and like excited. I'm just like, all right, well, here's food. So so that's good. What about desserts? Do you make desserts at all?
Sometimes baking, like I sometimes will do baking if I feel like it, but it's not, definitely not as much of a thing that I enjoy. It depends on my mood. Like sometimes I'll be in a baking mood, but most of the time I'm more into just regular cooking.
Gotcha. Okay. And what do you watch while you're cooking?
Whatever I'm binging on, because I can't like follow shows that are on live anymore because then I forget. So I pick a show and I binge on it until it's done, and then I move on to the next show.
What's the show you're binging right now?
So with my boyfriend, we're binging Lost. It's been so long, I
Oh,
forgot what happened.
yeah, that's sweet.
And then on my own, I'm watching Umbrella Academy season two.
How is that?
So good. You have to watch it.
Okay. Umbrella Academy. I'm like, what am I watching right now? I watch a lot of anime, so I'm watching like a couple of those, and I'm also watching Dark on Netflix. Have you heard of that one?
Did I? Yes.
It's like, it's Stranger Things, but gritty and like really aggressive. It's like Stranger Things if it was like written by like a demon. It's like really dark.
Sounds like something I'd watch.
I love stuff like that. And Netflix has a lot of those good like scary movies too, like the Ritual. That one was really good. I love that movie.
Yeah, that was what was there's this me and my boyfriend recently got into Korean horror movies because they're really Korean and Japanese horror movies because they're really good. Train
Where do
to
you watch them?
Busan, Netflix has a lot.
Okay, I'll have to check that
Train
out.
to Busan was really good. It was a zombie movie and it was pretty realistic compared to a lot of the mainstream Hollywood stuff that we've got.
Train to Busan. Okay, I'll check that one out for sure. Like I love scary movies, so that sounds awesome. Unfortunately, I can never get my girlfriend to watch with me, but I'll watch by myself. It's all good. So that's sweet. What about like movies? Like other movies? Do you like if you had to only watch like three movies for the rest of time, what would they
Oh my God, I could not pick that because I'd just get bored.
be?
I mean, I
What
really
movies have
do.
you seen the most?
The most. I've seen like randomly. So I love Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, and I love the movie with Keira Knightley. I've seen that a million times.
Okay.
I've watched End, like Avengers Endgame so many times, and every time I just bawl my eyes out. And like also like at the same time feel like awesome because I like to watch action movies when I work out. And then what's another one? Oh boy. I don't know. So
That's good
many.
enough. That's good enough. Avengers Endgame is a classic. That's a it's a new classic, so yeah. What about as a kid? What did you get in trouble for as a kid?
Talking back. I
Being
still get it.
sassy.
I still, my parents still like are like, why don't you just listen to us? And I'm like, because I'm an adult.
Yep. That's funny. Talking about, yeah, I used to do that all the time too. I think that's a I guess it's good to know it's not just like a boy thing, it's a girl thing too. Then again, I feel like isn't that stereotypically more of a girl to talk
It's
back to like their mom?
definitely a girl thing, but it was both like definitely both of my parents. But what was funny is I would get like punished. And if my mom punished me, she meant business. If my dad punished me, he'd feel guilty and like 20 minutes later come back and be like, just kidding, you're fine.
Softy. That's why I'm like terrified of having a daughter. I feel like I'll be such a softy.
I will not. Unfortunately, I am gonna be exactly like my parents in terms of how I parent. I'm gonna be my mom.
That's hilarious. That's good. I just don't know if I have it in me. I think I'll try to be like in the middle. Like my dad was just like super relaxed and like whatever. And then my mom was just like everything, you know, has to be right because she doesn't want me to get in trouble. She didn't want me to get kicked out of school or anything like that. So, you know, I'll be a little bit in between, I guess, but it's tough. Being a parent is so hard. When you get older, you realize like how tough of a job that really is.
Yeah, when I was 18, I went on vacation with my neighbors as their nanny, and while I was there, I texted my mom and apologized for all the crap that I put her through for the last 18 years.
What was the kid that you were watching doing that made you
There
say
were
that?
three of them, and like one of them, I'm like, stop jumping on the bed. Like, I just read you the story of the monkeys that were jumping on the bed and hit their head. And he doesn't listen. And even if you go and you like grab them off the bed, they're still going to go back on and jump again. And so he fell and hit his head. And I was like, I can't even anymore.
Yeah, I definitely cracked my head open a few times as a kid just doing stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's funny now, but it wasn't funny at the time. I can like feel the pain still from being like
me too.
Aged like 2 to 10, slamming my head into a wall or a concrete floor. It's like, ah, don't miss that. So that's one thing about growing up that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely still crack my head on like the refrigerator when I stick my head in and my car door. I'm a spaz. I have problems.
That's true. Getting in the car is like so annoying. I bang my head a lot on that actually.
Yeah, my mom decided she was going to get her fancy Audi, which she regrets because insurance is insane. But it's so low to the ground that even as a short person, I whack my head every time I get in it.
Did she get an R8?
A5.
Oh, okay. Like R8 is the car I'm getting day after I win the lottery for sure. But oh, A5 is pretty sweet too.
If I win the lottery, I'm getting an Aston Martin. Ooh. Like James Bond car.
Heck yeah, like an old school one or like a 2020?
It depends on my mood, I guess, when I buy it.
You get both. You won the lottery, you get both.
It's true.
Why'd you win the lottery if not to have both, you know?
Exactly. And I'd pay off all my med school debt in pennies.
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely still not just pay that off. I would just still send the bare minimum each month.
But like in pennies, be like, here.
Yeah. You know what the move would be? If you're married, have like your significant other claim the winnings. That way, like when the government looks at your taxes, they don't base your payment on your net worth. Because if you all of a sudden are worth like $400 million, they're like, oh, well, we want $20,000 a month in payments. But if your net worth is still like still nothing, you know, compared to what your spouse is, that'd be perfect. So
true. I'm not looking forward to getting those bills.
Oh, it's one of the worst things. And it's on deferment right now. But when I looked it up and I saw the total, I was like, ow, chest pain.
Yeah, I already owe $22,000 in interest alone.
I don't even want to tell you mine. I will, but if you want to hear it, but it's it's a lot. It's like, so because I have undergrad, grad school, and then 4 years of med school. So yeah, I hurt when I see that number.
I just don't understand why, like, the college loans, like, you can defer. And so, like, the interest doesn't really build up. But the moment you get med school loans, you start accruing interest from day one.
Yeah, they know they have a sucker on the line and you're going to make money down the road. So they can, and they know you'll pay it. So,
yeah.
Because you were foolish enough to work so hard to get in. So they're going to capitalize on it, you know.
True.
So, well, let's see, we've been talking for like 45 minutes already. Goes by pretty quick, huh?
It does.
Want to do the wrap-up questions and then we'll get you out of here?
Sure.
You got to get back to studying for step two, so.
Yeah, I'm making myself like work out now, because if I go to sleep right after studying, I have nightmares about my studying.
Ah, I remember those days. Where you're just like this, like, wait, no, I remember this gene now. I remember this and that. You're like, oh, yeah, I don't miss that. I'm sorry. You're almost done, though. This time next year, the step two will be a thing of the past. So
exactly.
So first question is, has medical school been what you expected?
No. And I think because I didn't really know what to expect, I knew it would be hard, but I didn't. You can't really, really fully grasp what it's like to be in medical school until you are.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. Let's see. So second question is, what are keys to success in medical school?
Never giving up, working really hard, and asking for help when you need it, because a lot of people flounder at some point, and that's okay. It's really okay. Everybody needs help at some point, whether it's with your mental health or with your studying or with your clinical skills. It doesn't matter what it is. Just seek help when you need it, and never give up. we don't become doctors because we have like 99.9% of us don't have a photographic memory. We become good doctors because we work hard for it.
Definitely. So now that you're a big bad M4, you've been rocking it already for like a couple, like a week or so. Looking back to like M1, M2, M3s, or even kind of current pre-meds, what would be your advice to those on their way up?
For pre-meds, pre-meds have the worst mindset, I think, after being one myself. It's okay to do things you enjoy. I know you have to do like 12 million things to get into medical school, but do a few things you enjoy too. To M1s, really figure out how you want to study, and you don't have to use Anki if you don't want to. Second years, get that mental health help, seriously. It's the hardest year of medical school, in my opinion. And for M3s, don't take it all personally. There's going to be some really great feedback that you're going to get, and there's going to be some that sucks, and some of it might be fair and some of it might be completely unfair. Take it with a grain of salt. This is one person making a reflection about you, that and they don't really know you that well. And always maintain, you know, your sense of wonder at things and your empathy. It's really easy to lose your empathy, especially if you're with a group of people who are burnt out. But it doesn't mean that you have to lose that. And then just keep trying to learn. I mean, I didn't want to go into medicine, but I put my all into that rotation and it was definitely noticed. So.
Okay. Sweet. That's good advice for anyone, really. Anyone paying attention, listen up. That's good advice. So, and the last question I have for you is, if you woke up tomorrow and you were 10 years old and you had to do everything over again to get back to where you are today, would you do it all over again?
Would I remember that I did all of this already?
You'd have the same knowledge, yep.
If I had the same knowledge, then yes, because then I think I would know a little bit better instead of, you know, trying to figure it out on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would know, like, to get your help, seek help. You would know to, like, look out for yourself and do fitness and stay mentally healthy and everything else. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I would have started fitness a long time ago. If, like, I would have made myself stick to it a long time ago. But my mentality has definitely changed as I've gotten older. I feel like, you know, for a very long time growing up, the joke was always like I couldn't stick to one thing because I was moving on to the next. But now that I'm older, I'm a lot better at following through.
Sweet. Well, that's what I like to hear. So, I mean, that's all I had for you. Were there any questions you wanted to ask me or anything you wanted to share?
I think I shared most of what I want to share. I know, like, right now times are difficult for everyone because of COVID. Hang in there. I know it's difficult mentally and with school. I know, especially pre-meds, kind of figuring out, you know, this whole class situation, whether you're going in or you're not, it's going to be fine. If you're applying to medical school, it's going to be fine. Everybody's in the same boat, so you don't need to freak out. I see that a lot on the internet. Just keep saying everybody's in the same boat. I mean, we're in the same boat applying to residency, and I think it's going to work out. Fingers crossed.
It will.
So, and I think everybody needs to keep in mind that, you know, it's not just us as applicants trying to figure this out. It's these programs that are also floundering to try to figure out what they're going to do.
Yep, absolutely. And like you said, it'll work out. It's going to be fine. This time next year, you're going to be kicking butt as an intern in OB. And I'll be a second year. And we'll both be like, these hard times will be new hard times. So it'll be something different, some new headache. But this headache will be long gone. So
yeah.
And you'll be getting a check for that.
And then we can wear our t-shirts that say, I survived COVID.
Exactly. Exactly. We can get like a N95 mask tattoo or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you're lucky enough to get an N95 mask.
Well, I have to use the same, reuse the same one, and it's really disgusting. So it's really disgusting, but it is what it is. So,
but yeah, we don't get them as students. We have to wear like the face shields if we go in. I mean, we're not really directly caring for COVID patients, so it's fine.
So like where I am, they gave med students N95s also, but they for sure have to reuse them, and then they have to wear the face shield also, which sucks. Yeah. But they're not allowed to see like PUIs or like possible COVID patients. They have to sit outside, which kind of sucks because like they have to just like sit outside, and then I present them to the med student, and then the med student presents during rounds. Aww. Like that kind of sucks.
That does.
That puts a lot of stress on me because then I have to do a great presentation so they can present well.
Yeah, we are like, if we're going down to the ED for an admission, we were allowed to see them if they were COVID rollout, because literally everybody's a COVID rollout coming through the ED. But if somebody's obviously got like seizures that are related to like a drug overdose or something, then we can see them.
Got you. Yeah, that's true. Well, that's cool, man. So I'm excited for you to rock and roll in your fourth year and get your interviews done and match, and you'll be on your way soon. Hopefully by match day, COVID will be over. That'd be sweet.
I know. I want match day.
Yeah.
And graduation.
Yeah, didn't get those, but it's all good. Hopefully you'll get them.
Yeah, they should make it up to you guys.
Shoot. The only thing they can do is give me money back at this point. Otherwise, I'm done. I'm not going back to school.
Well, that would be cool, I think.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet, but it is what it is. So, well, I really appreciate your time and really appreciate you, you know, stopping by. It was awesome getting to know you, and thanks so much. And thanks for working with me time-wise as well. I know we had to reschedule, so thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I really enjoy doing podcasts.
Awesome. Well, I'll just give you a heads up. It'll probably be like a month before I get yours out because I'm super behind. So, and with residency, but I will let you know as soon as it's ready.
Yeah, no problem. I totally understand. I'll probably forget what date it is again tomorrow. So I thought exactly. It was like, I texted my mom and I'm like, are we celebrating? Are you doing anything for the dog's birthdays? And it was July 23rd. And she's like, it's July. And I'm like, oh, because their birthday's in August.
You're like, yeah, that's not good. Days kind of run together, especially during dedicated time.
Yeah.
So, well, keep crushing it. And, you know, you're almost done. So hopefully your dates don't get postponed again.
I don't think it will.
Good. It better not. So that's good. Well, Catherine, thanks so much again. And I really look forward to everything in the future. I'd love to have you on again, maybe like a year or so from now.
That would be awesome.
Sweet. Sounds good. Well, I hope you have a great night. Study hard and have a good one.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That was Catherine, fourth year medical student. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, keep grinding and don't let anyone take your dream away from you.